Blog Talk Radio.
Part two of this. On last week, we ended with
We were talking about Esau and Jacob, okay? And when I've taught this in the past about Esau and Jacob, it's really concerning two different types of people, okay? And so if we are Hebrew and we're looking for Esau, probably can just look right in the mirror, okay? Because Esau was, he was red and hairy. Jacob was, you know, probably a darker skin and smooth, not hairy. And so Isaac couldn't really tell them apart, okay? But the truth of the matter is that in the scripture, what is really being said is these are two different types of people, two different types of spirits that you're dealing with. One that loves and wants and will do anything to get in the kingdom, and one that despises his birthright and could care less whether they get into the kingdom. Okay, that's really what you're looking at. And so we have both of those types of people in the world today. And so, you know, I don't want to go down that path or that road on this lesson, but the Most High simply said that, you know, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, before either one had done good or evil. The Most High already knew. He had already picked. What we have to understand that the Most High is sovereign, and he will do what he wants to do. And if he chooses you or not, or decides not to choose you, there's not much or anything that any of us can do. We are supposed to live this life and live it to the best of our ability according to his standards. And if we can just remember that, you know, we are here to please him and not him us. That we are here to be a sweet smell in his nostrils. And so, you know, we have to come to the understanding and the knowledge that he will save whom he will save. And he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. He looks at our heart. If he sees something wrong with our heart or something he don't desire, then he won't choose us. So I think I was having this conversation earlier with someone, and I can't even remember what the premise of how the conversation got started. So I won't even bring it up. But nevertheless, we're going to go ahead and start on today. We are going to do our statement of faith. So I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the love of our soul and the rock of our faith. And we want to welcome everybody in South America, North America, the African continent, the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the Communist Bloc countries. Wherever you are listening to this broadcast at in the world, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. So we have the ladies who cover their heads. Men, uncover your head as we go before the Most High with our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you on today, and we lift you up, and we magnify your name.
Hallelujah.
Father, we extol thee. We extol thee. We extol thee. We lift you high above us, Father. For there is none like you, Father, and you are so far above us, Father, that we can't even imagine. And Father, we just want to thank you for looking down on a wretch like me, hallelujah, and selecting me and to give me an opportunity, God, to get into your kingdom and to give you glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah, 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 Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, hallelujah. We just glorify you on today, Father. We thank you. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right, now when I did this, I cut off teacher. Got their teacher. Let me correct that. Okay. All right. We are going to go ahead and jump into this. I did want to mention that my wife Sharon found a friend that was aware of some USDA programs. That if you ever have received got rejected for a loan in the past, you or your descendants, your ancestors, let me put it up, not your descendants, but your ancestors, this started off as for black people who had gone through discrimination. If you had received, you or your ancestors were rejected for a loan by the government and it was because of discrimination, then you can apply for this the money, and I think they will give you like up to $50,000. I'm going to give out this number probably Thursday night. I want to do a little bit more checking. Okay. I'm going to call the one of the ladies there and ask some questions. But that's my understanding that you can apply and get up to $50,000 after taxes and everything. Okay. And so I will pass that information out at Thursday's business meeting. I'm going to take tomorrow and see if I can contact the lady and ask some questions that I have some concerns. It's very easy with programs like this for people to take advantage of you. Because you're going to have to pay to apply for this one. You could do it yourself. But supposedly they have had success with applying for people and getting the money. They have a team of lawyers, so they're going to take their cut out of it and what have you. But if you knew how to answer all the questions, then you could apply yourself if you knew what number to call. They have the numbers and everything. I don't have that information. So, but I will give you the information, and if you feel like you want to see how much they're going to charge, a couple of $100 or whatever it is, if you have that kind of money and you want to apply to see if you can get $50,000, then that will be on you. But I'm going to, as I said, I'm going to dig for a little bit more facts, and then when I present it to you, if I feel pretty good about it, then I will let you know that, and think that you should go ahead and apply. A couple of hundred, fair deal, more than fair. But if it seems like it's a scam or, they're just trying to take advantage of people, then I will, say, hey, don't do it. So that's my obligation to you as the leader of this congregation. So before I pass you out the information, I will do as much as due diligence as I can. And then also, if you're not of color and you can apply for the same program, and I think they included the COVID money with it. Everybody didn't apply for the COVID money, so they're still giving out that along with this. I think this program started in 2011, and not enough people applied for it. They closed it up, reopened it, closed it again. Now, this will probably be the last time that it's open. So just consider it, and, on Thursday night, I will tell you yay or nay based upon what I've found, okay? All right, that being said, let's go ahead and let's start this off in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. So the Most High is, really telling Israel, and he's telling mankind, I don't want you to be stubborn when it comes to me. I don't want you to be stubborn when it comes to believing my word, believing what I've had written, because I will always give the understanding. And if I don't want you to understand, it ain't going to matter anyway, because you ain't going to never understand. Okay? But I want heart, and don't be stubborn when it comes to me and doing what it is that I want you to do. Just be obedient, and I will do what I said I would do. I will be your Elohim, and you'll be my people. Okay? So in this circumcision, we were looking at, on last week when we stopped, we looked at Esau and Jacob, and we were looking at, we're going to be looking at bringing this forward. So we were in Romans chapter 9. And we read, we'll start in Romans. I don't have my glass. I don't know where my glass is at. Okay, let me blow up my screen so I can see this. Okay. Let's go to Romans chapter 9, starting in verse 1. The book of Romans chapter 9, starting in verse 1. In the word of the Most High reads, I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now, Paul is thinking about his own people, and he's thinking about their spiritual condition and their condition with the Most High. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. I wish that myself were accursed from Mashiach. Why? For my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, and the service of Elohim, and the promise. Now, this was all given to Israel. The Most High chose Israel. He adopted Israel. So, you know, he adopted Abraham and was going to make a nation out of Abraham. I'll make a father of many nations out of you. And through those nations, one of those nations, okay? So the adoption, the glory, the covenant, gave the covenant to Israel. Both old and new covenants are to Israel, okay? And the Gentile nations have to realize that they are actually being grafted into Israel. The church is an extension or supposed to be an extension of Israel. Israel was the first church, the nation, supposed to be a kingdom of priests, okay? And they were in the wilderness. And when it says that that rock, that spiritual rock, that was Christ, was in the wilderness with them, Christ is a title, okay? Christ is not a last name. Jesus Christ is not his name. Jesus the Christ, Yeshua the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. That's a title. Title means, the church says anointed. It is anointed, the anointed one, but that title really means the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. The power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. So in the wilderness, when he saved Israel in the wilderness by providing them water out of the rock, that rock that he used, that flint rock that he used to bring water out of. You know, you strike a flint rock, you get fire. He used a rock that you get fire out of to bring water. And then he caused that rock to follow them around and to continue to provide them water. That was his power and his wisdom unto salvation for Israel at that time. That's why it's called that Christ. Okay, so when we understand that Christ is the power and wisdom of Elohim unto salvation, then we can see how Messiah, the person Messiah, how he is Elohim's power and wisdom unto salvation to save us and mankind. Okay, because all of mankind was in sin. The Most High chose Israel and said, I'm going to make a nation out of you. I'm going to send you into Egypt 70 strong. I'm going to bring you out when you are strong enough to be a nation and stand on your own. And so that's what he did. And he gave Israel his covenant. So when we read, you know, in Exodus 19 through Exodus 40, the Most High is giving Israel the covenant, the contract. And Israel bought into the contract. They signed on to the contract. All that Yah said, we will do. And the Most High said, you broke my contract. You didn't keep it. So all of the law was written on clay tablets. The Most High says, in the new covenant, I'm going to write my laws in your heart and in your mind that you might do them, okay, and that you might do my judgment. This was the new covenant. And so when the church for the new covenant and to enter into the new covenant, if they just read the prophecy, it tells them, I'm not going to do away with my law. I'm going to write my law in your heart and in your mind. And there are certain laws that are going to be modified. And I'm going to destroy the temple so you can't bring an animal sacrifice to me. Because I require that you bring an animal sacrifice to me at the door of the temple. If you sacrifice an animal in the field and put it on an altar, he says, you are sacrificing to a demon. You're not sacrificing to me. Because this is what Israel was doing at first. They were worshiping other gods and making sacrifices out in the field. And the Most High said, oh, we're going to put a stop to that nonsense. You want to make an animal sacrifice? You got to bring it here for the priest to bless. Okay? You can't do this in the field by yourself. So when he destroyed the altar, the only sacrifice he really wanted from men, Messiah became our sin sacrifice. But the animal sacrifice, he said, you know what? Y'all have tainted this. I never wanted this sin. I never wanted the blood of bulls and goats for sin. I never wanted that. I allowed it and I instituted it because of your sin. And I needed blood. And I didn't want to take yours because that would kill you. Literally. So I allowed you to make an animal sacrifice to me as an atonement for your ignorant sins. Sins that, you know, things that you didn't know when you found out they were sin, then you could make this animal sacrifice. But if it was willful sin, you couldn't make a sacrifice. You could not bring an animal for that. Okay? So he says, I didn't forgive that because you knew that it was wrong. Okay? So he gave the covenant. In the new covenant, I'm going to take those same laws, and we're not going to do animal sacrifice. I want you to present yourself. You to present yourself as a living sacrifice unto me, acceptable and holy. That's what I want you to do. Present yourself a living sacrifice to me. So you gotta look at your life and you gotta examine it. Okay. All right. And the giving of the law. The law are the tenets of the covenant. If you obey my law, my statutes, my ordinances, my judgment, that's the law. Okay? And Messiah didn't come and undo that. He didn't come and die on the cross because all mankind had transgressed the law for mankind to continue to transgress the law. It's not what he did. And so this is where I know the Most High is using part of the New Testament as a test. Because when people are reading certain scriptures, they say, oh, we're not up under the law. Oh, yes, the scripture says that. You're not up under the law. What do you mean? They have interpreted, say, hey, we ain't up under the law. We don't have to keep those laws that the Jews had to keep. We're up under the law of love. The Most High says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Oh, well, not that one. No, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Okay? He said it in the Torah. He said it in the New Testament. Messiah said it. And so it is his heart. His laws, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances are his heart. And it's his love toward us. And he said, if you do these, you will live. If you keep these, you will live. I will raise you back up. But you got to want to do it. It's got to be something that you learn and you learn and learn to love to do. Why? Because it makes him happy. It pleases him. And it's what he says gives us life. That's why so many in the New Testament are going to be saying, Lord, Lord, or Master, Master, Jesus, Jesus, Yeshua, Yeshua, did we not do these things in your name? He'll say, get away from me. You worker of iniquity. I knew you not. Because you didn't keep my commandments. You confessed your sin. I filled you with the Ruach HaKodesh, and you still disobeyed. You had power, and you still disobeyed. Never coming to the understanding that it's all about obeying him. It's all about doing his will and obeying him, obeying his voice. Keep my commandments. Everybody that's got that spirit of Esau, Esau despised his birthright. He didn't really care about it. All the promises were supposed to go to Esau, but he didn't care about them. He didn't care about Messiah coming through his lineage. He didn't care about the covenant and keeping the laws of the Most High. He didn't care about the promises of the Most High. He traded it for a bowl of soup, a bowl of beans. Stole it. Most times that's the spirit I'm looking for. Somebody who wants it so bad, they would steal it. They would take it. They want to get in so bad. This is so valuable to me. That's worth taking. That's why Jacob did he love and Esau did he hate. So we got to understand that, okay? And the service of Elohim. The Levites were given the service of Elohim, the Levitical priesthood, with the Aaronic priesthood being the high priest, that family. Okay? And so he's talking about all these things and the promises, all of the promises that go with this. So Paul is saying, hey, my heart is heavy because I know what's going to happen to this people. I know that Elohim chose us, not gotten right. So let's continue. Who are the fathers of whom, as concerning the flesh, Mashiach came? So the Messiah came through Israel. He is a Jew. He is an Israelite. And so, how did they come up with a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus? I don't know. Don't know how they did that, but they wanted him to look like them. Okay? But he did not look that way. Who is over all and Elohim blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of Elohim has taken none effect. Not as though, you know, Israel has caused the word of Elohim to fail. What he's saying. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham. Are they all the children? Now, we're talking about the children of the promise. We're talking about the children of Elohim. Everybody's not a child of Elohim. Just because you're a human being doesn't make you a child of the Most High. What mankind has to realize. And this is what Christianity is pushing, you know. If you're a human being, then you are a child of God. No, you're not. We have to accept Mashiach and do what he said to do to become a son of Elohim. To become. Anything that you have to become, you are not. You have to become that. Okay? But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of Elohim. But the children of promise are counted for the seed. Those that the promise of Elohim are to. Now, we're starting with Israel, but it's for all mankind, but all mankind has to accept this, and all mankind is not going to accept this, just like all Israel did. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Think about this, what this is saying, the ramification of this. Before they were born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of Elohim, according to the election, might stand. The election, who he chooses. Many are called, but few are chosen. Okay? You got to keep that in mind always. Because you got to put yourself in a position that even if you're not chosen, at least you were in a position to be chosen for those that love him. Because they want to love him and they will obey him. That's who he's looking for. Not of work, but of him that calls. So your work, you can't be saved by your work. You're not good enough. None of us are good enough by our works to be saved. Our works alone, because then we would say, oh, we don't need Messiah. You didn't have to come die for me. I don't sin, but we all sin. He made sure that we all have sinned. Even our conception was an act of sin. Okay, so all were conceived in sin. The children, before they had ever done good or evil, most had already determined, hey, I'm not going to accept Esau. So everybody has to come and confess. And there's none of us. There's not one good. No, not one. That's what he means by that. He made sure of it. He determined what is good and what is bad. He determined who is sinful and who is not. And he made sure that everybody was sinful. Everybody but Messiah. Everybody from Adam, from the time of Adam and Eve, after that, all of Adam's children and beyond were conceived in sin, except for Messiah. That's why he took the man out of the picture. That's why he took the physical act of, because that act of sex, the Most High says, the unclean act, and being in an unclean state, it is sin. Okay? So that's how he made sure of that. That's why he had to take the man out of the picture when it came to the conception of Messiah. So he wasn't born in sin. He wasn't conceived in sin. And when he arrived in the world and lived, he didn't live in sin. He didn't sin. Okay, so let's keep going. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, before they had done any good or evil. It was already predetermined that Jacob was going to receive the promise. Because the Most High already knew his heart, and he knew Esau's heart. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Elohim? Is God unrighteous because he chose Jacob over Esau in the womb? Elohim forbid. God forbid that God would be unrighteous. God says, I know. I knew you in your mother's womb. I knew you before. I know you when you die. I know you after you die. I knew who was going to want this and who wasn't. And I elected him, the one that wanted it. Even though Esau was the oldest, he didn't want this. Power. And to show his sovereignty, I'm sovereign, and what I say goes. Now, if the Most High wanted to break a law, let's say the law of unclean food, okay? He told Peter, here's a bunch of unclean animals. Get down, kill, and go eat. Peter said, not so, Lord. Not so, Master. Nothing unclean or common has ever touched my lips. Get down and go eat, boy, like I told you to. If I don't eat that stuff, you said don't eat it. What I determined to be clean, don't you determine to be unclean? Since I told you, for unclean. If I say they're clean now, they're clean. even though your whole life you have been living and been obeying that commandment not to eat them. If I tell you that it's okay to eat, it's okay to eat. I'm sovereign. I'm the one that makes these rules. And if I want to change a rule, I can. We got to understand that about the Most High. Because a lot of people don't put him in the place that he ought to be. He's sovereign. Whatever he says goes. He has the last say in everything. And if he wants to say, if he wants to declare your works evil, and somebody did the exact same thing you did and declared them to be righteous, he can do that. It's up to him. We have to always leave that in his place. Our only thing to do is to obey. Now, the Most High says, you know, I'm righteous, and I'm not going to do anything like that, but if I want to, I can. If I want to, I can. And this is what he had to convince Peter of. But he wasn't really telling Peter, hey, those animals are clean now to eat. Because if I declared them to be clean, they're clean. But he was using those animals as an example of the Gentile nation. It is against the law for you to keep company with a Gentile. It's against the law for you to go to one of another nation and eat with them. That was a law in Israel. That was the law the Most High gave to Israel when he brought them into the Promised Land. Don't mix with any of these people. Because all their works have I already determined they are an abomination to me. Don't serve their gods. Don't ask what the name of their gods are or how they serve them. Lest you corrupt yourself. That was the law. Israel always broke those laws. And every time they broke those laws, they would get punished. Okay, so Peter is keeping the law. Hey, you know it is against the law for me to go to one of another nation. But Elohim told me that in every country, they that fear him, let me get that verse, in every nation, they that fear him and work righteousness are accepted with him. Righteousness is lawfulness, are accepted with him. Therefore am I come to you. Okay, we got to understand this. Is he unrighteous? No. Because the Most High can say, you know what? Yesterday that was wrong. Today it's okay. Or yesterday that was okay, today it's wrong. That is his sovereignty. That is his right. Okay, and so whatever he wants, that's what he's going to have. So he says, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and just obey my voice. Just obey and do what I tell you to do. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Obey me. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Elohim? Elohim forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I make up my mind who I'm going to have mercy on. And I make up my mind who I will have compassion on. And I make up my mind who I'm not going to have those things on. Who I'm not going to have mercy on, who I'm not going to be compassionate with. So then it is not of him that willeth, it's not of your will, nor of him that runs, not how you run. You better run, he said, run the race to win, but don't think that running the race and something else is wrong, you may not win. But you got to know that this is all up to who? Elohim. It's all up to God. So we as his subject, we are to run the race to win. We run it to come in. We're not just to run the race, just to run the race. Because there's an attitude that he's looking for. See, the church will teach you when you run the race, just stay in the race. And there's a scripture that kind of speaks that way. But then there's also scriptures that tell you, run to win the trophy. Run to win first place. So give it all your heart. When you run a race and you want to come in first place, you're not going to come in first place not giving it your all, because somebody else is going to give it their all. They want to come in first place. So you have to give it your all and make the best person win. But you gave it your all. So he says that's how you're to run the race. But that you running the race that way, if you don't accept Messiah, if you think the way you run the race is more important than what Messiah did for you, then the race ain't going to do you no good. Because nobody's going to be able to cancel out what Messiah did, and he's the only way into the kingdom. All have sinned. All runners have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Elohim. Can't get past Messiah. So we've got to accept Messiah and what he did for us. And you got to come into that covenant, the new covenant, by the right door, by the straight and narrow gate, straight and narrow door. And so with the church teaching, hey, you know, God has mercy, he does. But nowhere in these scriptures will you find where God says, you know what? When you know you're sinning and you do it, if it's against me, you transgress my laws against me, then there's no forgiveness for that. If you transgress against a person, go to that brother or that sister and ask their forgiveness, straighten it out. Okay? So it is not of him that runneth, but of Elohim that shows mercy. The Most High showed mercy to David. And this is where a lot of people want to fall out at. You know, David slept with a man's wife, then schemed to have that man sleep with his wife, and so that his pregnant wife would say that it's his baby. Then when he wouldn't do that, David had the man sent back to the battle, put in the heat of battle, and killed by the sword of the enemy. And the Most High sent the prophet to him and said, hey, you know, there was a man who had many sheep. And he came to this one man who only had one sheep, one ewe sheep. And he took that man's ewe sheep and sacrificed it for a dinner that he was having for his friends, some visitors. Rather than sacrificing out of all that he had, he took this man's one ewe sheep. David was rocked. Who would do such a thing? That man ought to die. Said, that man is you. David said, I repent. I have done a wicked thing. That's what the Most High wanted to hear. Not David making an excuse. Saul made an excuse. Saul, I want you to go to the, who were they? I can't remember the name of the people right now. But I want you to kill all of them. I think it's the Amalekites. But I could be wrong on that. Don't quote me on that one. I want you to kill man, woman, child, dog, pig, goat, everything. I don't want nothing living of this people. When I brought you through the wilderness, these people preyed upon the weak of Israel. Those people who were weak and they were bringing up the rear, these people preyed on them. And I told Joshua, and I told Moses, don't forget. Do not forget. And I believe it's the Amalekites. Do not forget the Amalekites. But you will destroy them completely. So the people wanted Saul for a king. Most High allowed him to elect Saul and choose Saul. The Most High gave Saul his first order, go kill all of them. Saul saved the king to parade around. He let the people say the best of the sheep. They said they're going to make sacrifices to the Most High with it. I believe the prophet was Samuel, was that Samuel? I have to look. Good grief, you know. The prophet came to them and said, hey, I told you, what meaneth this bleeding in my ears? Why do I hear the sound of sheep? Were you not? Weren't you told to kill everything? Well, the people, rather than him saying, I've sinned, the people took the sheep to sacrifice to the Most High. That one thing, he was rejected as king by the Most High. See, Moses did one thing, took credit from the Most High. Shall we bring water from this rock, taking my glory? Ain't no we in this. You're my servant. I'm going to do the work. I'm going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to cause a miracle so that I might receive glory. Not we, not you, me. Now you can't take this people over. I'm going to let you go up on top of this mountain, and I'm going to let you look at the promised land, but you can't go over. Saul, I told you to kill everything. You left some sheep. You didn't left the king alive. You rejected that king, and now you're going to die. And I'm going to give the kingship to somebody else. Now, David committed a great sin. But his heart was to serve the Most High. His heart wasn't to serve the people. Okay? And that's why the Most High said David was a man after his own heart. Bathsheba must have been something else. And David let it go to his head. I'm the king. I can have her. And sin. And the Most High, when David said, it's me, I've sinned. Then the Most High says, you know, to die. And it was the baby that Bathsheba was carrying that after it was born. Most I said, that baby can't live. But I'm also send the sword after your house. Like you had Uriah killed by the sword of the enemy, now the sword will never leave your house. Somebody can always be dying in your house after the sword in your house. His own son got after him. Because Most I said, you caused my name to be profane amongst the heathen. They look at what you did and said, hey, their God allows that. A man can take another man's wife and then have him killed to take her. You caused my name to be profane, and the child was the proof of it. Stand. I'm not going to allow that to stand. So something's got to die. I'm going to have mercy on you, David. But you're not going to get together. You're not going to get off altogether unscathed because of your sin. Okay. So David should have died, but the Most High had mercy on David. David knew he should have died. And he went and pleaded for the life of his child. 7 days. And when the child died, he knew the Most High had spoken. He got up, cleaned up, and said, you know, Yah has talked. Yah has spoken. I pleaded for the child while there was a chance. So we got to understand that the Most High will do what he wants done. He will do what he will. Okay? Therefore has he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardens. Okay? Well, let's go back. I skipped a verse. Go back to 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Romans chapter 9, verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power in you. How did he show his power in Pharaoh? He didn't glorify Pharaoh. He didn't do wondrous acts through Pharaoh. He did wondrous acts to Pharaoh. He did wondrous acts to Egypt, his people. I'm destroying this kingdom. And I sent my new people in here to raise them up to be a people. And when it was strong enough to become a nation, then I caused a king to come in here and to subjugate them, that they might cry out to me. I gave my people the best of the best in the land. When Jacob and his son came into the land, I made sure that Joseph gave them the best of the best land. I made sure that Pharaoh gave them the best of the best land. I had already given this land to Abraham. I told Abraham, everywhere you walk, it's going to be yours. Goshen belongs to Israel. Everything on the east side of the Nile belongs to Israel, even though it's part of Egypt. It's by promise to Abraham. So when the Most High brought Jacob and his sons into Egypt to become a nation, he had them put in the land he had already promised to Abraham. So I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will harden whom I will harden. Pharaoh, when Moses came in, before Moses ever went back to Egypt, the Most High told him what he was going to do. I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, that I might show my power. Because my whole purpose is to bring my people out of here and to destroy Egypt. Egypt is now worshiping. I made Egypt great. I made Egypt a global kingdom. And they have corrupted themselves. Their priesthood has corrupted themselves. The people have corrupted themselves. Even all the way up to Pharaoh has corrupted itself, thinking that he's a god. But I am the one that made them great. And they corrupted themselves. So when you hear an Egyptologist or somebody who studies Egyptology, and they say, you know, we're Egyptian, and you guys stole all of our stories and all of this stuff, in a way, they're telling the truth. That's why you'll see a lot of commonality between the Egyptian and the Hebrew. The Most High tells us in Isaiah, it was the Hebrew, the Egyptian, Egypt, my people, Assyria, the works of my hand. Israel, my inheritance. So Egypt corrupted themselves. The Most High was going to destroy them, create for him a new people, Israel. And he told Moses, when you go in there, Pharaoh ain't going to let the people go, because I ain't going to let him let the people go until you come out and you spoil them. And I'm going to destroy them. But I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart every time he wants to let you go. I'm going to harden him. Pharaoh wasn't doing that on his own. Now, what if the Most High chose to make you stubborn? What if he chose to harden your heart? Because he had determined that, you know, this one's wicked. And no matter who comes to them with the truth, I'm going to harden their heart. I'm going to stop their ears up. I'm going to make it where they can't understand or they won't understand. What if he does that? See, it is all a matter of the heart and how much you are willing to obey the Most High and what your heart is for him. So he says, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in you, through you, by you, on you. Every god that you worship, that Egypt worships, everybody, you know, anybody ever wonder why Aaron built the golden calf? Make us a god. Egypt worshiped the cow, the golden calf. That's where Aaron got that from. If you go in there, you read those stories. When Moses is telling Pharaoh, let my people go, let us go out into the wilderness and sacrifice. And Pharaoh said, do it here. And Moses said, how do you think your people are going to react when we sacrifice the abomination? What are we sacrificing? Cattle. But that's the peace of God. How do you think your people are going to react to that? We need to go 3 days' journey out into the wilderness. Because we're going to be sacrificing what you worship. So when the people asked Aaron to make a god, it wasn't by accident that he came up with that task. He was building a god that the people were already used to worshiping. And if you go back and you read the scriptures, it'll tell you that Israel was corrupt from the beginning. They worshiped Egyptian gods. Before they left Egypt, they were worshiping Egyptian gods. So the Most High used that, all the Egyptian gods, and how they worshiped them to bring the plagues on them. So they could know, so that Israel could know that their Elohim is Elohim. And Pharaoh had to say it, your Elohim is Elohim. Everything we've been worshiping, he used it against the Nile River, the fly, frog, the light, darkness, everything they worship, he used those things against them. That's how he got his glory. That's how he used his glory on Pharaoh. It's not Pharaoh, I'm going to let you name your own punishment. Pharaoh said, I'm going to kill your children, Israel. And the Most High says, Israel is my firstborn. Therefore, now your firstborn is going to die. You pronounce your own sentence. And to prove that I'm God, I'm going to do it. Fine. That I might show my power. That I might receive glory. Throughout all the earth. So this story is told all over the earth now. And you can best believe in that day, he destroyed the Egyptian army. But understand that this Egyptian army, because Egypt was conquered many times, that this particular Egyptian army and its Egyptian people weren't the true Egyptians. They were the Assyrians. They came in and conquered Egypt, didn't care anything about Joseph, didn't know anything about Joseph. And didn't know anything or care anything about the Hebrew people. Slayed them. But that was caused by the Most High. That was his doing. Because think about this. If I give you the best of the best in the land, and I give you a job that you like, you're a sheep herder. I'm going to put you over my royal stable. And that's what Israel's job was. They were the royal herdsmen. This was an abomination to most Egyptians. But it's right up Israel's alley. And I'm going to put you in the best of the best land. Now you got the best of the best. You got the job you want. You got the best of the best land. You're eating good. You're fat. You're full. What's going to ever make you want to leave there? And the generation that came in there, they're all dead. Everybody that would have known about the famine, would have known how hard it was, how we almost starved to death, they're dead. All we know is good, and all we know is Egypt. For all practical purposes, they were Egyptians. So don't think that they weren't worshiping Egyptian gods. The scripture says they were. And that would be expected because that's where they were at. So when he brings them into the wilderness, he says, now that there's no strange God among you, watch what I do to prove to you that I am Elohim and there is no other. Now I've chosen you as a people. So I'm going to do these things. And I'm going to let you starve a little bit so that when I feed you, you feel appreciative that you're eating. that I'm providing for you. Now, he gave them manna, and manna was so pure. Problem was, it was so pure, they didn't have a bowel movement. Something's wrong. We need meat. You need what? We need meat. I'm your creator. You don't think I know what you need? But you want meat? Okay. You complain about you want meat? I'm going to fly a quail in here 3 feet deep, 10 miles wide every day. But the first of y'all, when y'all eat, I want you to eat it till you die. Anybody ever read that in Scripture? That the Most High made them eat that meat until they died? Those that complain, here you go, eat until you die. It's coming out of your nose. Oh, wait a minute. Is that the God you serve? Is that the Elohim you serve? Is that the Elohim you know?
Is that when they was eating the pheasants?
Right. Till they died. I don't play. And here I am showing you, I just you, and you got the nerve to complain? You got the nerve to murmur? You got the nerve to talk against me? So he's trying to teach Israel, number one, to fear him. I do terrible things. You don't think it's a terrible thing to eat yourself to death on some bird? You can't stop eating until you choke to death. You die. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And whom I don't, who gonna stop me? So understand, we serve at Elohim. You got to understand who you are serving, who you say you worship. You know, there are people saying they worship God, but they don't really worship God. They don't even know him. They don't know. He says, fear me because I do terrible things. And he shows us in the scripture that he does. To him, the less lenient he is with you. Want to die quick? Get close to the Most High and then mess up. See how lenient he is. See how merciful he is. People don't really know who they're worshiping. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore has he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardened. Thou wilt say then unto me, you will say unto me, why does he yet find fault? If he hardened somebody's heart, how are you going to find them wrong? How is he finding fault with them? He made them do it. Because he's sovereign, Elohim. He knows what's in your heart. If he want to use you as a vessel of dishonor because you've been dishonorable, he can do that. If he wants to use you as a vessel of dishonor, period, because he wants to use you as a vessel of dishonor and condemn you, he can do that. That's why we need to be very afraid. Don't ever think you got it made. Don't ever think you're so good or you're so close or so perfect that you got it made, because you don't never know. Won't know until he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's read that again. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? If he caused Pharaoh, if he hardened Pharaoh's heart and wouldn't let the people, so he wouldn't let the people go, so that he could destroy Egypt, and if he hardens my heart or your heart, or if he makes do what he wants to do for his glory, and it looks evil or wicked because we did it, because he wants to bring about something else, how can he find fault? How can he say I was a bad person? For who has resisted his will? How can he find fault if he made you do it? You can't resist him. If he wants you to do something wrong, if he wants you to do something that he can condemn you for, and he makes and he does it to you, you can't resist that. You wouldn't even know it's him doing it. That one's evil. They think they're good, but they're evil. I'm going to use them for evil to bring about my will. That's why I said you've got to know who you're serving. And he tells us how he operates. That's why he says, fear me. Circumcise the foreskin of your heart and fear me. Do what I say to do. Or it's not going to end up well for you. Do what I say do. Nay, but oh man, who art thou that talks against God? Who art thou that questions Elohim? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me this way? So put it in your hand. You're in a pottery class. They say, make a cup, make a vase. You have the raw clay. You put the clay up on the thing and you make the vase the way you want to make it. Maybe it has some imperfections. Maybe it's so bad you don't want it. And you destroy it because you created it. Most I am telling you, that's how we are to him. That's how we are to him. I'm the potter. You are the clay. Therefore, I'm perfect. You're not. And if I make you a vessel of dishonor and use you as a vessel of dishonor, if I take an honorable vessel and use it dishonorably, it belongs to me. So you better fear me. Circumcise your heart. Get out of your own feelings. Get out of your own understanding. I am Yah and I change not. And because you don't see people dropping dead like flies, then don't think that I'm slack concerning what I said I'm going to do. I've been telling y'all all day long, but I've appointed a day. I've appointed a day that I'm going to judge the entire earth. And I'm going to use the standards that I've given you. And when I resurrect you, I'm going to use these same standards to judge you. Did you obey me or didn't you? Did you obey me or didn't you? That's the standard. Did you choose life or did you choose death? For most, I don't know. Maybe you made me choose this. You're right. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You understood you weren't in control. Enter in. Or, you know what? Yeah, I did that, and I didn't want you. Go get in the lake. Power. You got that kind of authority. Why, you better fear him. Why, you better circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Cut out all that mess that makes you think that you're something when it's only him and what he wants. And he wants us to obey him. That's what he wants. That's what he's going to have. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou formed me this way? Why have you formed me thus? Has not the potter power over the clay? Don't I have power over you to form you how I want to form you? Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Don't I have that power? Do you realize that I have that kind of power? Do you realize that I use that power to bring about my will? What if Elohim, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? Let's read that again. What if Elohim, willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, endure with much long suffering? Long suffering, a long time, dealing with vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. Hard verse. That's even kind of hard to explain. Y'all, you know, the vast majority of y'all are fit for wrath. The vast majority of us are vessels of destruction. Fitted for destruction. And the fact that the Most High doesn't just kill us right away, he says, I'm going to show my power. When I come to show my power, and the slain of me is many, in the billions, then you're going to know who I am. Then you're going to know I don't play. What if I wanted to save up all that and show it all at one time? There's billions of people, obedient people, vessels fitted for destruction. And I said, you know what? I'm going to resurrect you all. I'm going to destroy you all at one time to show my power. Would Elohim do that? Yeah, he will. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Now, I'm going to get all these people that are fitted for destruction, and I'm going to take out my wrath on all of them at one time. And that's going to also display my mercy on those that I don't destroy. Two-headed or a double-edged sword. All those that I display my wrath on, it ain't going to be good. All those that I don't display my wrath on, they're going to know just how merciful I am. I hope we can get this. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he has afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he has called, not to the Jews only, but also to the Gentiles. When he opened this thing up to the world, Israel was supposed to take the gospel to the world. Our forefathers were supposed to take this gospel and this understanding to the world. That the creator of the world is going to judge the world. And he wants men everywhere to repent, to turn from their wicked ways, to learn about him and to obey him. That was Israel's job was supposed to be. To teach the nations the statutes, the laws, the commandments of the Most High. To be the go-between between the Most High and man. The Most High says, you know, this is a hard-headed, stiff-necked people. But he used that so he might bring the Gentiles in. We'll have to go through Romans chapter 11 one day. Wonderful story, very detailed story about what's going on today and what's been going on for the past 2,000 years. One chapter and what's going to happen in the future. One chapter. And if the Gentiles read that chapter, then they got to know that they have something different than Israel as far as faith goes and obedience. But they're doing the exact opposite. Doing the exact opposite. You got brothers wishing for the destruction of the Gentiles. Don't have to wish on that. The Most High has already said what's going to happen. So, as a Hebrew or as a Gentile, you need to obey. You need to fear the Most High. You don't fear men. You fear the Most High. You fear what he is capable of doing to you. He already says what he's going to do. Imagine the Most High says, be thou eternal. I'm making you an eternal being. You can't die anymore. You can't, the possibility of you dying is no longer possible. You're going to live forever now. Stick your hand in that fire right there. Will have no effect. Yeah, those burning logs, stick your hand in there. No effect on you. Oh, wait a minute. See that volcano erupting? Go jump in the lava field. No effect on you. Get on the back of this angel. Take him out of the atmosphere. Can't kill you. You're eternal. Can't die. I got something for you, though. You see that other fire over there? That's burning, but it's not consuming anything? That's a special fire for you. That's a special fire that it burns, and it has an effect on spiritual beings that get in it, and it torments them. This fire over here, oh, that's that natural fire. This fire that I created for them, it will torment them. Won't burn them up, but it will torment a spirit. It will torment an eternal being. That's prepared for you. Because you were disobedient. That's what he's going to do. That's the punishment that everybody's going to the lake has to look forward to. Being alive cannot die, but in a fire designed to torment spiritual beings. He said that's how much more worse the punishment you deserve. I gave you a chance. I gave you a chance through Messiah. You chose not to believe in it. You chose to believe that you could come another way. Believe that you didn't have to obey my statutes, my laws, my commandments. That you could do a little bit of this. When I said give me your whole heart. Do everything I ask. Obey my voice in everything. Just fly by with what you wanted to do. Thought you could go by your understanding. Well, this is what I got for you. Get away from me, you worker of lawlessness, of iniquity. I knew you not. You said you belonged to me, but I don't know you. Those that are mine, my sheep hear my voice, and they obey. Messiah said this directly. My sheep hear my voice and they obey. Not they disobey. So when we know, we have to repent and we have to turn toward him and we have to do what he said to do. Do that. Or else we're none of his. Let's continue. Verse 25, as he said also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living Elohim. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel. though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Though the number of the children of Israel be like the sands of the sea, you can count all the sand on the earth, every grain. He says, you know what? That's how the number of the children of Israel are. There's people out here that don't even know they're Israel. Think they're Egyptian. Think they're this. Think they're that. Come out of slavery and don't know who they are. Somebody told them, oh, you're a Christian or you're an African American or you're this or that. No, you got here by being scattered by the Most High. That's why no matter what you do, no matter how much money you get, no matter how much power you think you might get, no matter how much education you might believe that you got, they still see you as a slave. They still want to treat you as a slave. You're still just a nigga. And I don't use that word often. But that's the mentality. And that has to tell you who you are. Because the Most High said that would be part of the curse. Are we part of it? So you got to know. Why are we going through this? Because of the disobedience of our forefathers. Why are the Gentiles in charge right now? Because of the disobedience of our forefathers. Just know that and circumcise the foreskin of your heart. And if you are the Gentiles, know that. That the Most High called you to be better, but not to mistreat his people. So we're not supposed to try to correct that. The Most High says he would correct that. We, as his people, his chosen ones, are supposed to come into repentance and serve him with our whole heart. We're supposed to become the example in the end times. But he says there's only going to be a remnant of us that do. A small number that come into the truth and will do it. Not everybody that's Israel, even not everybody that claims to be Israel. A remnant shall be saved. A remainder. That's just scare. Anybody claiming to be Israel, that's just scare you. Am I part of the remnant? Or am I part of the ones that get killed? Our Elohim is a terrible Elohim. He does terrible things. And he said, you know what? I chose you as a people, but I'm not taking all of y'all. You don't do to me what your forefathers did to me and walk away altogether unpunished. I'm going to keep my promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to keep my promise to Abraham. But I'm only going to save some of y'all. Not all of y'all. That goes to the Gentiles too, if they only knew what the scripture said. He's talking to Israel. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will Yah make upon the earth. You know, we think that 2,000 years is a long time. In the Most High's eyes, if we went by the scripture, and I know the way saying that this is the actual time, but that's 2 days. 2 days have passed in his eyes. And we think it's a long time because we're still mortal creatures. We still got an expiration date on us. But when you're eternal, what's 2 days? What's 2 years in your time? What's 20,000 years in your time? If you don't fear death, if you don't have to worry about death, what is a million years? If you ain't got to worry about death, it ain't never coming to claim me. It ain't even a thought anymore. It ain't a worry. It ain't a bother. So 2 days, that's nothing. Four. Except Yah, Yah of the Sabbath, had left us a seed. We have been as Sodom and been like Gomorrah. What is he saying? Israel, for what you did to me, you should be as Sodom and Gomorrah. You don't know nobody on the earth claiming to be from Sodom and Gomorrah. Nobody anywhere claimed to be from Sodom and Gomorrah because he killed everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah. Only ones that escaped was Lot and his family. And his wife didn't make it because she was hard-headed. Don't turn around. Don't look back. You just had to look back. Sodom and Gomorrah, you shouldn't exist. You shouldn't exist. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have obtained righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness has not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith. They didn't believe in it the way they're supposed to believe in it. Not that the law was bad. They didn't seek it by faith. Didn't seek it by believing in it. Didn't seek it by they believe that they should believe that they should obey every command that the Most High gave them. They agreed to it, but didn't do it. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. So the law was never in their heart. And they were keeping a tally. I did so many of this. I did so many of that. I fed so many of these people. I put up so many of these people. Work. But you're supposed to do that work because it's in your heart to do that work. It's in their heart to do the work to be seen. To be seen of men. He's telling us. Wherefore, because they thought it not by faith, but as it were the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. The stumbling stone was Messiah. I'm going to forgive you the transgression of the law. Oh, we can keep those laws. No, you ain't been keeping them. And then you've been using them to actually enslave people. Been using them in a negative way. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So when we circumcise the foreskin of our heart to not be stubborn, to remove all that foolishness, to understand that we have to obey the Most High. That's what we were put here for. To bring him glory through our obedience to him. That's what we're here for. Go to Galatians chapter 3. He's talking about the seed of Abraham. It says, not all Israel that are Israel are of Israel are Israel. And not all them of the flesh are the children of Elohim. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says not, and to seed, but singularly, as of many, but as of one. And it's where Israel has to get this straight. The seed that is promised to is to Messiah, which is Christ, which is Messiah. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of Elohim in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that which was made, which he make the promise of none effect. In other words, Abraham was given the promise by the Most High. I'm going to make of you many nations, and out of your seed shall Messiah come. And that was done, that promise was given to Abraham 430 years before the law was given to Moses at Mount Sinai. So if you want to know how long Israel was in Egypt, was it 400 years? How long were they slaves in Egypt? Was it 400 years? Was it 430 years? Was the prophecy fulfilled in Egypt about being enslaved for 400 years? The question would be no. The answer would be no. It wasn't fulfilled then. They were only in Egypt for 215 years. Only in bondage for 64 years. Still around there. So the promise, the prophecy about being enslaved in a land for 400 years wasn't done in Egypt. The dual prophecy. And in 2019, we had been and still are considered slaves in this country, whether you know it or not. The government just bought us as a people, changed our status from slave to citizen with a small c, changed the ownership to the federal government, and then granted us civil rights. But no inalienable rights, no God-given rights. So we are still in slavery, we just don't know it. Dangerous when men like Trump come to power and they want to undo certain things, because you could be back in slavery just like that. All it's going to take is a super Congress. Let's undo the 14th Amendment. Let's undo the 15th Amendment. We would be right back in slavery. So we got to understand what's coming. We got to know what's coming as a people, and we have to be prepared for that. And it's Yah who will have to deliver us out of it. And I believe he's going to use that like he did in what he did with our forefathers in Egypt. Because this is spiritual Egypt. Let me make them cry out to me. Let me put them back in a place where they have to cry out to me. That they truly are crying out to me with their heart. Then I will come and deliver them. But we got to know the truth first. Because the Most High says, I'm going to take you back into Sinai. I'm going to take you back into the wilderness of sin, the wilderness of the people. And there, I'm going to get rid of all the rebels. Yeah, all of you that don't even know you're Israel, I'm taking you back there. I'm going to gather you too. You don't know you're Israel, but I'm going to gather you. And if you didn't learn the truth and you were still disobedient to me, it's not going to be taken as an excuse. So we have to get this right. Okay? We have to understand that we are still in our slavery. Even though we're free, or appear to be free, it don't take but one or two laws to change, and we're right back. Because they never did really grant us inalienable rights. They gave us civil rights, and they can take civil anything that you're given by somebody, they can take it. They can take it from you. So we're comfortable where we're at. But there's something terrible just down the road. So this seed was Messiah. And this I say that the covenant that was confirmed before Elohim in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. I made Abraham a promise. The law can't cancel that out. What do you think? The law can't cancel out that promise, so that now I made the promise before the law, then now I'm going to bring the Gentile in under this promise that was before the law. So I'm going to bring them in. They got to learn the law, but the law is not going to keep them out of the kingdom. If they will accept Messiah and they will repent and turn from their wicked ways. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all children of Elohim by faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. For as many of you as have been baptized into Messiah or into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Yeshua HaMashiach. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So stop right there. 639. Talk about this for a minute. Because the people rest in this. They live in this. They count on this. But they're doing it in a false way. They're claiming Messiah, claiming that they're in him, claiming they have received the promise. They're believing on him. They're doing works in his name. But they're not obeying him. We ain't up under that law. We ain't up under his laws at all. All we got to do is love one another. No, there's more to it than that. His feast days are forever. No, we don't have to keep those days. Those are the Jews' feast days. Those are the Jews' holidays. No, those are the Most High's feast days and holidays. He gave them to Israel. He said, keep these. Now you're going to come into Messiah and say you don't have to keep them? You can continue to worship your false god, your pagan god, and say you serve him and say you're his? No, many of y'all ain't going to make it. Most of y'all ain't going to make it. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You chose to continue to worship pagan gods and call them by my name. Stand this. One scripture can't say, oh, you're going to all make it, and then the next will say, I'm killing everybody, and you don't put them together. Many shall say in that day, did we not do these things in your name? Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. You didn't keep my commandments. You taught otherwise. You taught people this for today. We'll pick it up in part three on next week. Let me find this first. And I just want you to ask yourself, do you find this to be true? The book of Matthew, chapter 5. Because, see, people read this stuff, but they don't believe it. They rather count on their own understanding. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, is heaven still here? Is the earth still here? If the answer to that question is yes, keep reading. One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. Shall all be fulfilled. All be fulfilled. Everything that the Most High has said, the new heavens and the new earth. So until that happens, as long as you're on this earth, not one jot or one tittle is going to pass from the law. Whosoever, verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now the Most High never promised everybody a throne. He never promised everybody a crown of rulership. What he promised was, you'll receive 100-fold of whatever you gave up in the crown of life. So you're gonna sit on a throne with him. You're going to judge angels with him. Everybody ain't doing that. Those are the ones that actually really truly overcome. Those are the ones that give their life for him. Literally. Die for him. They get that. So while we're here, so that people will know, who have listened before, they know this or should know this. Where is that scripture at? We find this, and we'll call it a night. Where are you at? One moment, please. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And let's get verses 29 and 30. Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30, I believe. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all. Master, we left all to follow you and have followed you. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Okay, now let me pick this up another place. So he's telling you, you can get 100-fold plus eternal life. So if you give up brothers and sisters, mother and father in this life, you're supposed to receive 100-fold, and in There's another verse that says it even better. The story in another, probably is Matthew. If I can spell it right. It's going to say it a different way. Where are you at? Maybe I can find it this way. Go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. It's not what I'm looking for, but we'll get this one. We'll call it a night. Fear none of those things. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death. Be willing to give your life. It might require your life. And I will give thee the crown of life. The crown of life is eternal life. Like it said in Mark chapter 10, I believe that's where we were at. Mark chapter 10. The crown of life is eternal life. But then some people are going to be given an actual crown and sit on the throne with him. Okay? I have to find that verse because it's bugging me now. But I'll find it and have it for next week. All right. Are there any questions concerning the lesson tonight? Any questions whatsoever? Those that are listening online, if you have a question, press the number 1 and I'll open your mic. If you have no question, then if there are no questions, then we will dismiss for this evening.
No, I have no question.
All right, amen. All right, if there are no questions, then let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. Father, we know that you are sovereign. You are sovereign. You have say in everything and your will be done. And that it is our duty and our only purpose, as you have said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, is to fear you and keep your commandments. Are you going to bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil? Father, we believe you, and we tremble at your word, and we walk in you, Father. Father, if we have not the understanding concerning you, open our eyes and our ears that we would understand you and that we would obey you. That this is what you're calling for all men to do, to follow you and to obey you. So, Father, help us. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen and amen. All right, we will pick up on next week, and we will finish this one up in the next lesson after this. Let me see where we're going after this. This is, we'll start on Yah's rest, the Sabbath. And then the Sabbath. Okay, because they have significance in the scriptures. And I think I'm going to add another one or two lessons in this series, and then we'll be through with the newcomer series for this round. We still have paganism to do, Yah's Sabbath, the day of Yah. And I think I'm going to, yeah, the book of John, chapter 4, and the setup of the kingdom. So we still got a few lessons in this. So I think I'm going to add another couple for, you know, things that every saint should know. Every saint should know these things. And so, yeah, I'm going to add another couple of lessons. And when I get them done, then I will just introduce them. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to place you into. Fear Yah and keep the commandments, saints, for this is our whole duty. Shalom, and have a blessed Tuesday. Rest of your Tuesday at least. And there we go.
Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, family.
Shalom, everyone.
Shalom, my
good night, Brother Miles.
All right. Peace and blessings, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday night. See you guys. No, just Tuesday night, isn't it?
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night. I'm thinking, got Wednesday on the brain. Got to go to the market tomorrow. See everybody on Thursday for the business meeting. Shalom.
Amen.